Welcome to the July and August edition of the AES Journal podcast. I'm Kyle P. Snyder. We begin this substantial issue with a landmark paper by Floyd Toole on the measurement and calibration of sound reproduction systems. In a controversial review of the state of the art, Toole challenges the status quo by questioning the continued relevance of steady-state amplitude responses measured with an Omni microphone at the listening position. He looks at both small and large listening venues, seeking a calibration methodology that could be applied throughout the audio industry. He concludes by emphasizing the importance of the anechoic measurements of loudspeakers in predicting perceived sound quality ratings, and suggests that if accurate loudspeakers are employed, then no calibration may be needed in cinemas at mid to high frequencies, apart from compensating for screen losses. Following on from Toole's paper, Tapani Filiamaki and Ville Poki discuss the synthesis of complex sound scenes by transforming decomposed spatial sound recordings. The aim is to track listener movement in virtual reality environments so that believable movement can be perceived inside a recorded sound scene. A B-format recording is decomposed into granular virtual sources that can then be placed on an arbitrary convex surface. These are complemented by separate diffuse sound syntheses that reproduce the ambience from the original signal. Jesper Udensen and his colleagues investigate the degree to which the visual impression of a space affects the psychoacoustic testing with headphone-based virtual sound. Auditory externalization, the authors found, was clearly affected by the brain response to the visual stimulus as well as to the acoustic signals presented over headphones. However, neither a hearing-in-noise test nor a direction-of-arrival test was significantly affected by the presence of a virtual stimulus. In our fourth research paper, a model approximating human spectrospatial processing was used by Robert Baumgartner and Peter Mydeck to evaluate the limitations of vector-based amplitude panning in the sagittal plane. Front, back, and up-down locations were strongly dependent upon listeners' individual HRTFs, the source location, and the loudspeaker arrangement. As one might expect, the performance appeared to get worse with increasing angle between neighboring loudspeakers. An engineering report by Shuyan Sun and his colleagues continues the theme of headphone-based virtual listening environments. In this case, the authors compared the results from live and virtual listening tests on four loudspeakers, considering the effect of the recording and playback method on the reliability of the virtual test results. They conclude that while virtual tests have the advantage of offering the same listening conditions for every test subject, the recording and playback methods used have a significant effect on the results. The ballistics of ordinary audio meters are studied by Victor Acuna in an engineering report that attempts to come up with a method to characterize their dynamic response. Acuna suggests that this is important partly because of the strong current interest in loudness indication in the audio industry, and finds that VU meters generally provide a better representation of this than the more common LED ladder designs with semi-peak responses. Finally, Takehiro Sugimoto and his colleagues from NKH Research describe a downmixing method for their 22.2 multi-channel sound signals. The large number of channels used in the 22.2 system are not always practical, so the authors investigated downmixing equations for 5.1 and 2-channel versions that could be transmitted using MPEG-4 AAC. The editorial section of this journal issue contains a report on the 138th convention that took place in Warsaw earlier this year. For those that weren't able to be in Poland for the event, this is an ideal opportunity to catch up on what happened. We also present a preview of the audio event of the year, the 139th convention, coming up this fall in New York. With registration heating up and a compelling lineup of training events for beginners and pros alike, this is a not-to-be-missed date for your diaries. Our feature article in this edition concentrates on cinema sound reproduction, bringing together the results of a number of papers presented at the recently held 57th conference. Picking up on some of the themes evident in Floyd Toole's research paper on system calibration, discussed earlier, we look at work on predicting in-room response from loudspeaker measurements at the effect of cinema screens and on low-frequency alignment, among others. We also present a soundboard feature by the recently appointed co-chair of the Technical Committee on Transmission and Broadcasting, Mathieu Parmentier. Mathieu describes how the topic of object-based audio opens up new opportunities to personalize the listening experience. He implies that better audio from a consumer point of view probably has more to do with being able to adapt the replay to one's needs, to adjust the balance between dialogue and other sounds, or to adjust the dynamic range so as not to annoy the neighbors, than it has to do with fancy multi-channel sound reproduction. Object-based systems make all this possible. Standards News offers updates on the latest work in topics such as digital audio measurement, loudspeaker modeling, and microphone characterization. Audio metadata standards are also a hot topic. For those working in relevant fields, there is another call for contributions to next year's conference on audio for games, as well as the first call for a conference taking place in 2016 that's all to do with headphone technology. All this, plus our regular reports of AES meetings around the world, can be found in this bumper summer issue of the AES Journal. Available for download now at www.aes.org. For the Audio Engineering Society, I'm Kyle P. Snyder. Thanks for listening.